The title of my sermon this morning is, Even in this pandemic, we can still give thanks. A pandemic is defined as an epidemic occurring worldwide over a very wide area, crossing international boundaries, and usually affecting large numbers of people. We are currently in a pandemic, and for most of us, this is all still new. We are not used to having something take every facet of our life and turn it nearly upside down. This included the election our country just went through, down to the very ability of our children to be able to go to school. This pandemic spreads to every different demographic we have, including the fact that our own very president was stricken with this and got infected. So as you see, when dealing with a pandemic, we are powerless to control aspects that arise from the onset of such a thing. And it is even more difficult to understand how this could get out of control when we have television, radio, internet, and social media, just to name a couple of these things, as avenues to communicate needed information and precautions. Still, even with modern medicine and technology, we still see the far-reaching effects of what a pandemic is capable of doing. It can financially decimate one's financial structure, physically attack a person's health, mentally affect how we socially interact and process these new levels of stress, emotionally distance us from all who we love and seek emotional stability with. It definitely affected the way we shop, or really in the beginning, hoarding, as it affected really two major lines, and that was toilet paper and disinfecting cleaning lines. This thing has been so extensive that some of our automobile manufacturers halted production of cars to produce medical equipment to deal with this focused, motivated, unapologetic, silent, yet deadly killer called COVID-19 or coronavirus. Our very nation was shut down in many areas, prompting financial and medical intervention from our government. There was the stimulus, unemployment assistance, ramping up the USDA programs to provide food for the less fortunate, as well as for our families that are supported normally by having jobs that they couldn't go to because this pandemic shut them down. Grieving for loved ones took on a whole new look, and unbelievable restrictions were put in place that limited how we supported our loved ones during either the hospitalization or even the funerals during death. The number of people visiting was cut to one or none. And the funeral services were capped with only a few people able to pay their respects for their fallen loved ones. All this can be overwhelming if we allow it to be. Or we can remember who we are and who we serve. Hebrews 13:5-8 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say that the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follows. Considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Here clearly we see a message to the believer that explains two truths. The first thing, that we are never alone. And for one of our promises are that our Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. It is our salvation that ensures that we are never alone, and that the Holy Spirit that indwells the believer will never be alone. And I'm so glad that I never have to be alone. And the second truth is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What that means, if that doesn't matter, it really doesn't matter whether it's a pandemic, a nuclear war, world war, famine, drought, or really whatever you decide to put in that category. The fact remains, Jesus still paid the price for sin, and the sin debt is paid in full. And Jesus is a very real help in danger. He is our rock, our fortress in times of troubles, and our refuge when under siege. This morning, I hope to inspire a renewed hope and refreshing reassurance that even in our darkest days, we are comforted in the darkest hour, we are not alone. That while in this valley, we are clearly in the view of our Savior as He walks this path with us. We aren't alone. And give an understanding that it is always darkest before dawn, and that weeping is but for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. We are not without warning and preparation and security, as the Word of God tells us that there will be plagues, or in this case, we call it a pandemic, that He will protect His people, that He will be our strong tower. He will be the light to our pathway, and to be aware of the signs of our times, and that the Comforter came. Yes, He came, and He is with us. And finally, I plan to give reasons for thanks, even in this pandemic. Even though this pandemic is not the plague spoken of in the Bible, it is a plague nonetheless, and we should not fear them, because our God uses plagues to soften the hearts of men, that they may turn to Him. Revelation 16 clearly tells of the seven vials and the angels who released them, and how they were used to bring obedience or disobedience or defiance, as it was foretold, as men continued to have a hardened heart, so that prophecy may be fulfilled in the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Turn with me, if you would, to Revelation 16, as we read Revelation 16, 1 through 16. Revelation 16, 1 through 16, it reads, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth.' And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of the dead, of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art, and wast, and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed in their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is the man, is he that washeth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. There was a seventh vial that was poured out. In 17 it says, And the seventh angel poured out of his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. There was a seventh vial poured into the air, which concluded these plagues. It is with this knowledge that we know that God can create plagues and can stop them just as quickly as they started. We as Christians need to understand that these plagues we face are not there to test our faith, but rather strengthen our resolve in our faith. We also need to put our trust in the Lord, because He will protect us. Just as He told the children of Israel during Exodus. If you want to turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 24, it simply says, For the Lord your God is He that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Clearly, we can see that we are not to be faint in heart, either because the Lord is our strong tower and refuge. Much like David, we need this assurance as we face unknown complications and restrictions dealing with this pandemic. If you would turn to 2 Samuel 22, 1 through 4 with me. Much like David, we need the Lord and His reassurance. But 2 Samuel 22, 1 through 4 says, And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in Him I will trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. So I say once again, He will protect His children. We as humans understand how light is needed to illuminate dark areas, as we understand that a map may be needed to walk in certain pathways. This pandemic is certainly an unknown pathway with far-reaching consequences and unforeseeable hardships we still have to deal with. But for certain, we have the Lord who can light every single one of our pathways through all of this darkness. Psalm 119:105 says, "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Clearly, if we are in the Word of God as we should be as Christians, His Word is a lamp for our feet and a light for the pathway that we walk. So here is what we know. There will be plagues. In this case, we call it a pandemic. He will protect His people. He will be our strong tower. And He will be the light to our pathway. Knowing these things are all part of the next thing we are called to know. And that is to be aware of the signs of the times. We go in day in and day out. And we see that we've been socially distanced and we've been unable to do a lot of the things that have been part of what we do on a day-to-day basis. But we understand that in the words of our God, that we're going to have trying times. We're going to have circumstances that we don't understand. And we're going to have difficult challenges that may be hard for us to overcome. But understanding that we are not alone and that He will fight for us, that He is our strong tower and our refuge, gives us the hope, the strength, and the courage to move on. If you would, turn with me to Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, 1 through 14, He says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him for to show Him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as far as He sat upon, the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privily, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for My name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Many of these things are taking place right now. So even if it isn't the plague spoken of in Revelation, we are aware that it is spoken of in these passages with pestilences, famines, earthquakes, and kingdoms against kingdoms and nations against nation. You want to know something amazing? I ask, do you want to know something amazing? Well, right now we are preparing to worship the advent of Christ in His birth on the 25th of December. And in doing this, we can live a celebrated life through Christ as He told us after paying the sin debt that He must go so that the Comforter will come. That is amazing. Every day that you get up as a Christian, you are not getting up alone, because the indwelling Spirit gets up with you. He is that voice of reason when we plan to do something stupid or wrong. He is that inspiration that gets you motivated to do something good for others. He is that strength when we are weak. And He is that comfort. When something is wrong, the Holy Spirit is here with us as we feed and nourish it with the Word of God that we hear preached at this church without fail. Believe in this, because Jesus told us also, if it were not so, I would not tell you, as He tells us about the Comforter. Turn with me to John 16, 7 through 15. John 16, 7 through 15 reads, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and ye see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truths. For He shall not speak for Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you." We know that Jesus did ascend to heaven, where He sits on the right hand of God. Therefore, we should also know that He sent the Comforter in His stead, that we may learn more of God and seek to do the will of God. Today, we heard that there will be plagues, or in this case, a pandemic, that He will protect His people. We are His people, and He is protecting us. We have very few incidents in this church where we have someone that has passed away because of COVID. We've had several incidents where we had members out because of COVID. But the most wonderful thing is our God protects us, and He's brought those people back. We have several people out today dealing with several issues. But we understand that we're going to have these ups and downs. But we have the understanding far more that God will protect us. He will be our strong tower. No matter what you're going through, no matter whether you're facing the fact that your job has closed off and that you may not be working right now, there may be some person in your family, in your household, that's not supporting the things that it needed to be supported, and things are not like they should be as we continue to deal with this ever-growing pandemic and its spread as it grows worse and spreads more vastly. But we got to remember that no matter where we are, no matter what we're going through, no matter how we're dealing with it, that He is our strong tower. He will be the light to our pathway. This pandemic, nobody understands it. We said something about SARS may have been a cause of it from a couple of years back. They don't know that. They say that they may be coming close to getting an antidote, vaccine, something to deal with this. Well, we don't know that. We might be dealing with more family members that pass away because of this. We may be dealing with loved ones, friends that may pass away from this. So we really don't know what the future holds when it comes to this pandemic. But what we do know is that no matter what we do, no matter where we go, whether it's in the darkest dark that you can't even see your hand in front of your face, we understand one thing, that He will be the light to our pathway. We are told that we should be aware of the signs of times. Rumors of wars, they're out there. Nations against nations, it's happening. Kingdoms against kingdoms, it's going on. We are aware that we are close to the end times. And for some, when you hear end time, it may be something that's unsettling to you, that may be hard for you to understand, may be troublesome for the fact that in the end we don't know what's going on. But that may be true for someone that's not a Christian. We as Christians know how it ends. We know where we're going to be. We understand that no matter what we go through, no matter what trials and tribulations we face, we must be aware of the signs of the times. And there's one beautiful fact that happens in these signs of times, and that's tribulation is going to come. Tribulation, when it comes, we won't be here, because we have a promise that He's going to come and get us and take us away before that. So we understand we must know what the signs of our times are. And one reason that gives us an overwhelming strength and abundance to know, no matter what these things that are coming down the pike are, is that we have a Comforter who is with us. When we accepted Christ as our Savior, the Spirit was awakened in us, and it indwells us to show us the deep things of God, to give us an understanding of what He would have us to do. Those things that we probably would never in our wildest dreams understand will be revealed through the Holy Spirit, which is the Comforter. Jesus had to go so that He can prepare a place for us that we may go with Him. And in His stead, He did send us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to help us and to guide us through these turbulent times, to give us that hope of understanding that no matter what we have to face, we're not facing it alone. Now, finally, I plan to give reasons for thanks, even in this pandemic. I give thanks for being able to wake up this morning. A lot of people don't look at the small things. The fact that we were able to wake up is a blessing because there were a lot of people around this world that didn't get that chance today. There were a lot of our fellow Christians that were given that call to come home. But the fact that I'm awake and have another day to praise, to worship, to live a life, a Christ-centered life, is a blessing. For having a loving God who loves me, not because of me, but in spite of me. He tells us that our greatest works are as filthy rags. And that if our greatest works are as filthy rags, and He still loves us, doesn't that tell you how deep His love for us is? I'm thankful for that in this pandemic. I'm thankful for being in a church family that honors and keeps God first. I'm thankful for having the Comforter with me. As I go through these troubling times, I know that He is there to help me. I'm thankful for being part of such a wonderful Sunday school staff bent on educating our young about God. I am thankful in this pandemic for being in a nation that can disagree, yet agree to get something accomplished and still focus on what's needed. I'm thankful in this pandemic for being a saved child of God. You know, I could stand here and I could go on and on about the things that I'm thankful for. But I need five of you to tell me two or three things that you are thankful for during this pandemic. Who wants to tell us a thing or two? Go right ahead.
Able to be back in church with our brothers and sisters.
Amen. Amen. Who else? I know every one of you has something that you're thankful for during this pandemic. Come on.
Go ahead. My salvation, my family, and my health.
Amen. Amen. Who else?
I'm thankful for His word that never fails.
Amen. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Who else? Go ahead, brother.
My greatest privilege is to know God personally. My greatest desire is to know Him better.
Amen. Is there anyone else?
Thank the Lord, as Stephen said, for His word that comforts us.
Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Who else? Well, we go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm thankful that our schedules changed. So that, you know, there's more time.
Yes.
To maybe learn to be more patient.
Mm-hmm.
And to enjoy God's word.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Well, we could go on, and we wouldn't have enough paper in the world to write down all the things that we're thankful for. But I want you to remember, storms are a part of God's work. This pandemic may be a storm in its own way, but we remember through stories in the Bible that tell us, accounts of the Bible that tell us that in our weakest moment, He is our strength. In this storm that we're going through now, God is using this storm to bring those that may have been hardened of heart closer to Him. And I just want to remind everyone that no matter what we're going through, and we're going through this pandemic, there is always something that we can give thanks for.